This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
One and two. Here's the pitch. He lines one into left field. The A's are going to win it. Base hit for Butler. And the Athletics salvage the finale with a 5-4 win. A rare misstep for Aroldis Chapman. And the Oklahoma Athletics get one of three here. That's a tough one for the Red Sox. 5-4 the final. And Boston hope they don't regret that one at the end of the year.
Al Keefe got what he wanted.
I kind of did, I'll be honest.
Aroldis Chapman.
I think you're going to appreciate that later on. About a month from now, you're going to be like, whew. Good thing that happened.
He blew the save.
Yep.
He hadn't given up a hit in 50 batters. What's the date? Billy's been saying it. July 23rd. That's the last time he gave up a hit. July 23rd.
Yeah, July 23rd.
50 straight batters. He hadn't given up a hit.
That's right.
And then he gives up a couple yesterday. The A's walk it off. It's a game, ironically, I feel like no one was watching these games out west, meaning most people got to get up, they got to work.
Yeah.
Most people aren't.
How about the people who tuned in yesterday and like, where are they playing? what is this?
Rinky-dink ballpark.
Wait a minute.
So maybe people got to actually watch them yesterday, and you tune in and you go, oh, crap. This is what Keith wanted. And I agreed with your take at the time.
Thank you.
Hey, mix in.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was a blown save, but you were like, mix in a hit,
run.
Mix in a few runs.
It didn't have to be a blown save.
No.
Right? I was hoping more to kind of thread the needle where it's a three-run save, he gives up a run, or even two, but they lock down the win, and you kind of move on. Because I'm telling you, and maybe it's me being superstitious or something, but you start the playoffs, and let's say, you know, a big game against the Yankees in the playoffs. He's on the mound for the ninth inning, protecting a one-run lead. And then they immediately put up on the screen, hasn't allowed a run in 3 months, hasn't given up a hit in 2 months.
And you're like,
hasn't given up a hit since July. Don't jinx it.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Like, the guy's an absolute machine. I'm like, no, maybe he has to give up a run. Now start a new streak. And that streak can last the final 15 games of the regular season and into the playoffs.
Yeah,
that's what I want.
I mean, Will's calling the game, but when he's like, you hope they don't regret that one, I really didn't feel that way at all coming out of it. It's like sooner or later, mm-hmm. Chapman is going to be human.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether or not he needed to mix that in before the postseason and whether or not you're superstitious like Keefe, we can debate. But when you haven't...
He was on too much of a heater.
You haven't given up a hit in 50 batters.
Yeah.
A franchise record, 17 straight appearances, the third longest streak in baseball history since 1901. It's hard to get mad at the guy.
It's crazy. Oh, I'm not mad at him at all. I just think we're going to be better off.
So
as a fan base, this was the right thing.
Let's see where it goes.
Yep.
You know, if he starts looking a little more hittable, I think they've managed him really well this year.
His ERA ballooned up to 1.14.
I don't like that.
Yeah, I know.
It was nice under one.
It was cool.
Uh-huh. So they've managed him really well this year. You know, if I was going to give Cora credit for anything, and I've been critical of Cora in the past, the way they've handled him specifically, because remember how it started this year? They've ultimately gotten it right with Garrett Whitlock. Whitlock was coming out and trying to get 4, 5, 6 outs, and he couldn't do it.
No, he's a one-inning guy.
They started limiting him to one inning, and he's been dominant as a setup guy. And that's something we complained about in real time. It's like, stop trotting out Garrett Whitlock for 6 outs. He can't do it.
Right.
And they learned that. They had a good plan the whole year with Chapman. Now, maybe that's Breslow and baseball ops, like maybe that goes above Cora, right? When Cora pulls Crochet after 5 1/3 against the Mets, we all yell about baseball ops. So maybe Breslow deserves credit for this as we talk it out, but I'll give it to Cora. I think they've handled him really well this year. They rarely pitch him back-to-back.
Yeah.
Sorry, 3 days in a row.
I was going to say, he pitched back-to-back. Yeah, oh, yeah, right.
I think
a few times in August.
I think he did 3 days in a row earlier this year, once or maybe twice. He rarely, if ever, is asked to get more than three outs. One of the times he did.
Well, that's been in his career. I think he's gone four outs like twice.
No. In his career?
I think he doesn't something do insanely it low. Like the last time he did it was like
in his
5 years
ago. Or like, okay. Wow. Okay. So
it
I didn't
might
realize
be.
That.
I remember, I think we looked it up when they acquired him or maybe when we knew he was the closer. He really doesn't do it much. Yeah, there was a spot. I think you got to go all the way back to June. He pitched three straight days. There but was one of those days he got an out.
Well, I remember they had him up to do it over the weekend, I think. They had him up late in the game. They piled on a bunch of runs. They didn't need him. But that was one of the first. I was looking that up then, too, because I'm like, when's the last time they had him go 3 days in a row? It hasn't been often.
Because he also didn't pitch this series until yesterday, and then you knew you had the day off today. And so I think he'll be fine. No, they've done a great job as far as, you know, using him the right way. Not even a blown save because it was a tie game. But so he has three losses on the season. He has 29 saves, and I think he has two blown saves.
Yeah, yesterday he was 29 for 31. Yeah, going into it.
Yeah, yeah. No, so he still is because that was it's right. So like he takes the loss.
No, but I agree. He's only blown the two. Yeah,
but
correct.
I mean, pretty remarkable season, and I think you also have time where it's like this isn't the last thing he had going into the playoffs. Like he'll still have a handful of more opportunities, and then hopefully he starts a new streak.
Well, so this is what I'm, but I guess this is what I'm saying. Let's see how they go. Yeah. I assume he's going to go back to being dominant. Let's see. Mm-hmm. But if he doesn't, then maybe we look at it and say whatever we say. I don't think it's going to be about his workload and how they handle.
No.
Like I think this point, they've handled him brilliantly, and it's hard to get too upset with that. Yesterday, he got a few runs out of his system.
Yeah.
Or a run out of his system.
Hits.
He got a couple of hits out of his system, and hopefully he's back to dominating come the postseason. The Peyton Tolley thing, I'm now waffling on where I want him on the team.
Did you like him yesterday?
I didn't.
Which one of his two innings was your favorite?
I guess the first.
First inning?
Yeah. Okay. I guess that's my preference
there. You'll take
the first? He's
got a problem with the long ball maybe a little bit.
He does. Now, his fastball is electric, but when you don't have anything else, people
plays,
are loading up on the fastball.
And you throw it right down the middle sometimes.
Yeah. So where do you want him to fit in? We can play this game with Todd early. We can play this game with
Connelly early.
My guy, Harrison, who we saw yesterday.
Oh, yeah. What'd you think of Harrison's Red Sox debut?
I mean,
innings?
I'd like to pretend that I felt really good about it,
you
but I feel like
that?
He was, despite three scoreless innings, I felt like he was walking a tightrope when he was out there.
A little bit.
But three scoreless is three scoreless. It was a decent enough start. Let's go through where all these guys fit in. It does feel like they have some young options to pitch for them in the postseason and going forward. I think that is a credit to baseball ops and Breslow and the pitching development. Where does Tolley fit? We were talking about him as a fourth starter before. He might be better as a high-leverage guy out of the bullpen.
Yeah, I think long-term, definitely starter.
No, for sure.
But for now, I would say probably bullpen.
Yeah.
I think so. Let's see what the second start for Connelly early looks like, because the first start for Peyton Tolley, I had him penciled in as the fourth starter and, you know, no questions asked. Then we saw him two more times and you're like, he might be better for three outs. He might be better this season to go in there, throw gas, be a character, you know, flying out of the bullpen and mowing guys down, you know, a couple of tough lefties that you're facing in like the seventh inning. And there he goes. Right. Because he's certainly not, you know, getting into Whitlock territory. So now you're trying to figure out how long does your starter go and then what guys get you to Whitlock and Chapman. I think he could be one of those guys that gets you there. Kyle Harrison, bullpen, and maybe even bulk bullpen. And maybe what happens is Connelly early, maybe, like, I don't want to just hand him the job yet, but based on the one start we saw,
he gives you two or three more starts. He could be a fourth starter where you need it in a playoff series. Maybe.
And yeah, you might not even need it too many times, but the times that you do, and then you have all these guys, you kind of throw all these guys at that problem, right? So you're like, Connelly early is going to be on a quick hook, but so is every pitcher in the postseason. Even the best pitchers are on, you know, there's a runner on in the third inning, let's get somebody warmed up. So that's where you say, all right, maybe you attack that game with everybody. Plus, Alex Cora come playoff time, he's just had a hard time getting to the playoffs the last few years,
but once he's
a little bit of a, you know, magician with the, all of a sudden you'll be sitting there and you'll be like, wait, why is Lucas Giolito warming up? You know, why is Brian Baio warming up? Like, he'll use all his guys to get through a game. So I think all the young guys might even have, say, game four of the ALDS. Maybe early starts it, and then you kind of figure out where you want to go after that.
I think Toley, high leverage, pick him, put him in a big spot against a lefty, like a power lefty spot, is probably the place for him. But you're right. You could spot start him. You could spot start early, depending on what we see. Harrison could be in that mix.
You think all three are on the playoff roster, though, I guess? You can't have all three.
I mean, so
Harrison,
first,
no.
Harrison won't. I didn't even ask you to pull this, Nick. I listened to Cora before the game yesterday. I'm like, I think Cora hates him. Like, already.
I think the franchise does.
No, I don't know about that.
Maybe anyone waiting for him to come into the game yesterday? Justin Wilson and Slayton before him. I was like, where is he?
There were more, right? Or was that it?
No, yeah, Weissert was before him.
Oh, yeah. Weissert is who I was thinking of. You're right. Matt's as well. Like, there. Yeah, he did. It took him forever to get into the game. Cora was so lukewarm. This guy's making his debut. And he went on and on about Toley, on and on about early. Yeah, we're excited about this guy, this and that. And he was so lukewarm before the game yesterday about Kyle Harrison. I'm like, I think he hates him.
He's like, he's got stuff to work on.
Then he didn't use him until they were behind for the final three innings. So, I don't know. I don't think Harrison will be on the roster. I think early, we're going to have to see where it goes his next couple of starts. But I could see that. Toley's going to be on the postseason roster. I now think the bullpen is the spot for him, I think.
Yeah, that's what I think, too. Because I don't know how many innings you want to get out of him, right? Like, he started out clearly as a starter, and that's what he's done thus far. But each start, he's thrown fewer innings, right? So you're like, is he even like a bulk guy? Like, if he had to come in, you're like, all right, you're going to pitch the third, fourth, fifth. I don't even know if he's doing that. Like, he just might be like the sixth inning when lefties are coming up. But that's still fine. That's still a weapon. That's still something that you can use. But I wonder, like, do you... Right now, big spot against, Yordan Alvarez or got some left.
Yeah.
You going Toley or you going Steven Matz?
It's a good question.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm wondering, like, the pecking order and, like, the depth chart for Cora.
Can I warm out of it? Like, today, Matz. I know Matz gave up a big hit yesterday. He's coming into a bases-loaded spot.
Yep.
And his numbers have been really good with the Red Sox. Mm-hmm. So my answer today is Matz. But let's see if Toley out of the bullpen. If they haven't pitched there down the stretch to try to get a feel for it, if he looks really good, I'd be open to Toley in that spot. But today, I'd lean Matz.
Yeah, because I wonder, because what do you carry, 10 pitchers come playoff time, give or take?
Yeah.
And you probably have four starters, and then you got like your six relievers. So I think he's on there too, but, you know, Matz and Slayton and Wilson and the way they've used Weissert.
Yeah, honestly, like, Wilson might be the answer, but I get what you're saying. Yeah. If you're choosing even lower than that, maybe. By the way, Yankees play today, but you get three with the Yankees this weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Good news. The game on Friday is on Apple TV.
It's right here on WEEI.
That's probably the place to catch it, because that is a Apple TV-only game, television-wise. So EEI would be a good place to catch it on Friday night. Sitting here today, and the standings could change, Red Sox might be a half game up. They might be a half game behind. But sitting here today, Red Sox and Yankees tied. Number one wild card. They're both four games up on the Rangers, I believe.
It's exciting.
They're both three games back at Toronto.
Yep.
So you want to talk about a big late season series. And the Blue Jays are coming up on the schedule as well in a few series. You want to talk about a big late season series, which the Red Sox to this point have dominated between these two teams.
They own them this weekend. Yeah, I can't wait. So it's the last three games of the regular season. Fingers crossed still on a postseason series, which would be fantastic. And the Red Sox, no excuses for them. They're going Giolito, Bayo, Crochet. So they got all three of their guys on the mound starting on Friday.
I didn't hear Early in there, so that's a shame.
You don't have Early. No. I think Early might get the A's again, which could be good.
Probably a good move.
Probably a good move. I think he'd be in line because they have another series with the A's at home. But they're down to 15 games. Right? You have five three-game series left in the season. You have one with the Yankees coming up. You have one series with the Blue Jays, which very could be for the division. Now, maybe you have to sweep them, but either way, it could be up to you. And then a series with Detroit at the end, which they might not even really care or might not even need it. So we'll see what ends up being with that. Because they're probably all set, I would imagine.
Yeah, they really.
Detroit is stomping the Yankees right now.
Are they playing for anything?
No.
Wait,
what?
Detroit is like they're destroying the Yankees in the series they're playing right now, so they might be up in the
Central. I was like, is there a game going on right this second? Sorry, I was confused. I get what you're saying.
Oh, but I guess, I shouldn't say they have nothing to play for. They're only a half game up on the Blue Jays for the number one overall seeds.
But they really haven't been playing that great. Like, the Tigers started out on fire to start the year, and maybe they're playing well against the Yankees in this series.
The Jays and Tigers are both 5-5 in the last 10.
Yeah. I mean, the Red Sox aren't
Jays, Tigers, Yankees.
You just said it. The Red Sox are three back at Toronto. They wouldn't be that far back at Detroit.
The division's right there for
a month or so ago, we were talking about as the best team in the American League. And so this is the other piece to it. They've dominated the Yankees. Blue Jays and Tigers. Red Sox didn't play well head-to-head with them, but they've come back to the pack.
Yeah.
We've seen how they played. Early in the year against the Mariners, they split. They played well against Houston. So that's most of the playoff field we're talking about. Even without Roman Anthony, and a lot of us were writing them off to make a run without Roman Anthony. Cora told him to envision game one of the ALCS. It sounds like it could be even longer than that, potentially. I wouldn't expect him before that. Even without Roman Anthony, the way they've played and the way they've been playing now for months, remember, they weathered a storm without Bregman. They weathered trading away Rafael Devers. So far, they've weathered playing without Roman Anthony. The AL's still there for the, like, it's still
duck boats,
right there.
Crazy.
It is.
Yeah, no, it's crazy because you felt like, there might be a bit of a Roman Anthony's gone. They back into the playoffs, right? Because we were looking at it, and you're like, the Rangers and the Royals and the Guardians, I don't think they're going to catch them. But what kind of firepower do they have? Like, is the life kind of sucked out of them a little bit? But they were able to weather that storm a little bit. I think, you know, the A's obviously helped because they did lose three in a row, right? You lost the last game against Cleveland and then those first two against the Snakes. Some of the Peyton Tolley excitement kind of went away, and you're like, man, they could really use Roman Anthony. We were joking yesterday about how bad the lineup was that they put out. You're like, you have Sogard, Eaton, Yoshida, Wong.
Eaton, Wong was a good combo at the bottom of the lineup
Great combo. Yeah. Driving each other in. That's a nice time. But, no, you were wondering, like, all right, is this going to be something that they can't overcome, right? You mentioned all the other little adversities along the way that they were able to overcome. Even if there was sort of a losing streak associated with each one of those things, they were able to pull themselves out of it. And the Roman Anthony one, you're like, all right, this might be too much. Because a direct correlation of them being good post-Devers was the arrival of Roman Anthony. But baseball's a weird sport that way where, like, even your best player, it's not the quarterback, it's not the best player on a basketball team. Like, you can still play and you can still overcome your best player going down.
The Braves won without Acuña, right? So, like,
yeah.
So I thought he got hurt the year they won. I'd have to fact check that. I thought that's what happened.
Maybe. Yeah, you might be right.
So, you know, maybe you can get some of that going on. And I'm not really even talking about winning a World Series, but going on a run to the point where you get Anthony back is really surviving until you can get Anthony back. The AL's there for that. And the series this weekend goes a long way. It goes a long way because you can bury the Yankees. You know, you sweep them again. And that's not my demand, but that's in play the way they played head-to-head against the Yankees.
Yep.
You bury them. You're on pace to be the number one wild card. You're closing the gap on Toronto. And at worst, you're hosting that wild card game. That's three straight games at Fenway.
Yeah,
at
it's best, awesome. What an atmosphere that's going
to
be.
At best, you don't even have to play in the wild card game round. You catch Toronto, and now you get a buy into that second round. You're that much closer to Anthony being back. So these are what's at stake down the stretch. And you have the Yankees and Blue Jays head-to-head, starting with the Yankees this weekend. A Blue Jays series coming up as well with the Tigers mixed in there. Mm-hmm. You can make a lot of hay. 617-779-7937. I saw the Twitch chat saying not everybody got to see Kyle Harrison yesterday. They don't trust my stance on Harrison. What did you think about him? I said I felt like he was kind of walking a tightrope.
Yeah, fine. I thought Kyle Harrison was like, all right. Like, he didn't give up any runs. And you're just like, all right, he's a pitcher.
It's all right.
Yeah, honestly, he's the Rossi tier. He's all right. If everybody's healthy, he's certainly not making the playoff roster.
I would love to come in and say, three scoreless, he looked great. He pitched three scoreless. I didn't think he looked great. It's one outing, but I would have him currently off the playoff roster, and I guarantee you, if you ask Cora, he doesn't want him anywhere near his playoff roster.
Yeah, I'm just curious, even long-term, where he kind of slots in. You know, he's supposed to be a starter that they got in the Devers deal, and you're like, I don't even know if there's room for him.
Like, Tolley, when he comes in, you see his fastball, and you're like, whoa!
Yeah.
Same thing with Early. Like, I don't think his fastball is as good as Tolley's, but he has more of a repertoire.
Yeah.
You watch Harrison, and it's kind of like, loopy, slurve,
baller?
Not junk baller, no, not but like it's bad. It's not the same. It's not the same.
It didn't look
the same to me. And so that's Early, meaning Early for Harrison. It's one start.
Or one appearance, rather,
not start. We all thought he was going to get a start in there, but Cora doesn't want to start him.
No.
But that was my read on that.
Although there still could be. Like, do you think Tolley and Early just stay in the rotation the rest of the season?
Probably.
But if you want to get Tolley some reps, like running out of the bullpen, like, do you have to do that before the playoffs start?
Short term, I think Tolley stays in the rotation, but right, the last like week or two of the year, well, I guess we're pretty close to that.
No, that's what I'm saying. We're there. Well, I'll ask Bradford what he thinks about that, because I wonder if that's the role. Give him a few opportunities, because it's much different, right? Just preparing for a game, sitting in the bullpen all day long, getting up and then running in for two, three outs.
I said they could make a lot of hay and catch up to these teams, or they can bury them. Do you think they're going to bury themselves? I mean, they might not get the number one wild card spot, but they're not going to bury themselves. You think they're going to miss the playoffs? Is that what they mean by bury themselves?
The Mariners have won five straight, but even then, the Mariners are the third wild card team. So even if they pass you, it's not ideal. They have a four-game lead over the Rangers.
The Rangers?
Well, the Rangers have won four in a row.
They have. They don't have Eovaldi. And so
I don't think the Rangers catch them.
Four games in 3 weeks, that's a lot to make up.
Yeah.
So I don't think they're going to bury themselves in terms of missing the playoffs, if that's the implication. Maybe they fall to the second or third wild card. I could see that.
Texas schedule, also five series left. Mets, Astros, Marlins, Twins, Guardians.
Mets, Astros, Marlins, Twins, Guardians. That sounds fairly easy.
I was going to say, those final nine.
The Mets have been horrible.
The final nine, they could go on a little bit of a heater. Yeah. But the Red Sox play the A's and the Rays, and so, yeah. And they've owned the Yankees.
We'll get to your thoughts on this. 617-779-7937. Rob Bradford joins us every Thursday at 11:30. We'll ask him about Peyton Tolley, where he fits in. We saw Todd Early, is what we're calling him, make his first start. Where does he fit in on this team? Plus, I want Bradfo's thoughts on Keith's conspiracy theory on Chapman. It's good. It's good to give up some runs.
Thank you.
Give up some hits. Get that out of your system before the postseason. Uh-huh. So we'll do that with Bradfo coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jones and Keith, WEEI, you hear that music, you know it's time for Rob Bradford, Baseball Isn't Boring, and WEEI.com. I saw there's some new swag from Baseball Isn't Boring, some new hats there, Keith.
Nice.
They pop.
They come in extra large.
They look real nice. Yeah, you're going to need it for that dome of yours over there. Yeah. Bradfo brought to you by McFarland Energy, the heating, cooling, and bioheat delivery pros that Eastern Mass and all of Cape Cod depend on. McFarlandEnergy.com. What's up, Bradfo?
Oh, my goodness. McFarland to you both. It's so good to talk to you. And if you want a hat, just message me and we'll make that happen.
Right, I want a hat. Are you talking to us, or are you talking to the listeners out there?
Can this be the message?
We want hats. Yeah, we're telling you right now.
Do I?
Yeah.
No, you guys have to go through the formal process. I'm sorry.
Fair enough. Apply for a hat.
Yeah, so it is amazing that, you know, going through airports, sick brag, bro. I know.
Yeah, nice.
Going through airports, you wear that hat, man. It just sparks up the conversation about the great game of baseball.
Yeah, look.
I do have a question because I just get off the flight late last night. And if you have the middle seat, if you have the middle seat of a long plane ride, who gets the armrest?
I take both. If I'm in the middle
seat
I take
you.
Both.
Yeah, you get those.
Yeah, it's survival. Okay.
You get those because the other guys get their ones, one to the right, one to the left. Yeah.
I think that's fair.
Spread your legs as wide as you can and put your both elbows on the armrest.
And if you have your choice, what seat do you go for?
Window. Yeah. I used to be an aisle guy, but then I when people are like, oh, I got to go to the bathroom three times on a 2-hour flight, you're like, what?
I know. I don't mind middle. I don't mind middle.
This explains a lot, by the way.
I like both armrests. Now,
no, look, you're middle, but you're not. Let's say you're with two strangers. You're not with like
I'm
your
not
wife
with
and
my
kid.
Family.
No.
Oh. Yeah.
Middle with two strangers is an outrageous
probably
take.
More window, but like with my family, I always fly in the middle seat. Doesn't bother
Dibs
me one
up
bit.
Middle.
Yeah. I don't doesn't bother me one bit.
That is a psycho move.
That is maybe the worst take of all time.
All right. Well, you know what, Brad Bonet?
Jones' hottest take. Brad Bonet, give me the middle seat on a plane.
They can't all be winners. No. All I know, I hope we're not let down by these hats. We've been promised hats before, so I hope we're not let down
you have?
By the hats here.
Not by you, Brad Bonet.
We've been promised hats before, and we've been let down. Keith has a good conspiracy theory on Chapman. Not even conspiracy theory, but just take on Chapman. Maybe not as hot as the middle seat.
This is good, Bradford.
Tell Brad for your take.
Yeah, I didn't want him going into the playoffs with like 100 consecutive scoreless innings.
Oh.
I thought it was good to sort of break this up a little bit.
What is this? This is like the Patriots season, right?
Well, so yes and no. I mean, the Patriots were chasing history. Chapman was just on like an unbelievable heater. He had given up runs earlier in the season, but it was just every time you saw him, they were like, hasn't given up a hit, hasn't given up a run. His ERA is under one. You're like, oh my God. Like, I just had fears of game one of the playoffs. Chapman's in there, and the announcers are going on and on and on about this streak, and then boom, he serves up a homer.
Yeah. I mean, I think that there's, first of all, there has to be a name for this theory, right? Mm-hmm. And there has, because I've heard it before for different things, like you said, the Patriots. But Chapman, the biggest thing isn't, you know, fine if he goes on a run into the playoffs, but I'm with you, kind of. It was going to happen at some point. If it happens in the playoffs, it's the ultimate sad trombone. And you know how I know this, because you go back to last year, that who shall not be named in the offices of the commissioner, Emmanuel Clase, I mean, I think he finished third in Cy Young.
He was nasty until he wasn't.
Keith's got the t-shirt jersey.
Not a t-shirt jersey, a real jersey.
Oh, I'm sorry, real
I got
jersey.
It in Cleveland.
Excuse me. Giveaway.
Yeah, I was at a Cleveland game where that was like the pregame like giveaway. It's awesome.
I don't think they're going to have another one of those.
Yeah. So I'm just guessing.
Maybe I can return it for like a Jose Ramirez.
But, you know, people forget how unbelievable he was. I think he was like third in Cy Young or something like that. And then he was just awful, awful in the playoffs. So I think what you have to avoid with Chapman, and this is the obvious thing, is that you have to make sure that his stuff is still good. He mentioned after that game in Arizona, oh, my velocity was down. I had to figure out a different way to do it. Well, you got to find a way to get that velocity back. You have to find a way to make sure that he is right. And this goes with Crochet. This goes with all these pitchers. It becomes an area where it's the unknown, it's uncharted territory, really. I mean, we could talk about Crochet. I did an exercise the other day with, you know, comparing him to Zach Gallen on September 8th. They both compared to Zach Gallen.
Yeah.
I love exercise. Yeah. I love innings total exercises. Yeah. 2023, Zach Gallen ended up pitching, I think, 243 innings. And on September 8th in 2023, he had the exact same number, almost the exact same number of pitches in innings that Crochet does now. My point is that if you are going to make a long run, there's a long way to go for all these guys. So you got to make sure they're right.
You ever work with Michael G, the Michael G theory? Is that what we should call it?
Ooh, Michael Gee.
Oh, was it Gee?
Jones had a hard time with pronunciations. He was calling.
It's not Don Ace.
No, it's not Don Ace. Did you say Don Ace?
Yeah, I said Don Ace. Michael Gee, you ever work with him at the Herald?
Yeah, I remember Michael Gee. Sure.
We call it his theory. It was what we call that.
We don't have to.
The Keith Corollary.
Yeah, Keith Corollary.
To the Michael Gee.
Oh, I do like the Keith Corollary. Yes.
What's the plan with Peyton Tolley? They've started to load up on the fastball. He's gotten hit a little bit in the last couple of outings. Is he ideally for this team this year, not long term? This team this year, number four starter, high leverage bullpen guy. Is he on the playoff roster? What's the fit?
I think he's going to get another chance to start. I think they have. That's the plan going forward. That this was sort of not an aberration, but not what they're going to do. They're going to go forward and they're going to give him a start. And they're going to hope that he's good because they need him to start. This is, as we said before, this isn't a luxury item. That Peyton Tolley, they need to find a fourth starter. They need to find a fifth starter. And they need Peyton Tolley to be kind of good because they don't have a lot of other options. Now, Conley Early, great. Unbelievable. Awesome. But still, it's like we're putting cart before the horse a little bit if you think that he is the no doubt about it guy. With same thing with Peyton Tolley. We've already seen this, that you're going to have to adjust. The first time out is different than the second time out. That Peyton Tolley thing in Arizona was the ultimate lesson for any young pitcher. Because Arizona, just talking to the Arizona people before the game and then after the game, they're like, we just cranked up the traject machine to 100 miles an hour, and we just sat on his fastball, and once we saw he couldn't throw his curve, then boom, we know we had him. Well, welcome to the major leagues, Peyton Tolley. That's not to say that he can't be good, and that's not to say he can't help even in the postseason, because I still think if he adjusted, if he is able to throw another pitch decently, he can be a very valuable, if nothing else, reliever. But you know, I think that it's to answer your question, there's still some ways to go to figure out who is actually going to contribute when they make the postseason.
Can you clarify something? Is Connelly Early eligible for the playoff roster?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought so, too. We got multiple texts and messages saying they're like, oh, he got called up after the fact. So I thought so. So
no, you
got
to be part of the organization.
Okay. Oh, so like, so even Kyle Harrison, not that he would be on the postseason roster, but what did you make of Harrison's Red Sox debut yesterday?
Oh, it's good. I mean, the same thing. It's good. It's just, you know, you can't ignore the fact that, you know, that you get outs, you don't give up hits, you don't give up runs, and he's a guy who – I saw him in person a couple times down in Worcester, and you do notice, like, if fastball does jump, you see what they see in him. He does have major league experience, but I'll say it again. It seems like a short amount of time, these couple weeks left of the season, but it's a long time in terms of figuring out exactly who is going to be hot, who is not going to be hot, who you're going to be able to rely on, and all of that. It is amazing, though, guys. Not only the Red Sox, how many teams are calling up these young players to say, all right, you know what, you're our savior. The Mets are doing it with three guys in their rotation. One guy that did live that life, if you remember, I know that you guys rode the ride of the 2015 New York Magical Mets, and Steven Matz, he actually did it. He was dropped in the middle of nowhere in September.
Harvey, DeGrom, Syndergaard, Wheeler.
And they started him? I don't remember that. They started him?
Yeah,
they
started him. So he got put in the rotation in early September, made, I think, four starts, and then he started in the NLDS, the NLCS, and the World Series.
How about that?
Yeah, so there you go.
Same track.
Didn't happen.
So, bigger picture, when they're looking, because I feel like Cora yesterday was talking about Harrison very differently than he was talking about Early and Tolley leading into their first outings with the team. Harrison's wasn't a start. Theirs were. So maybe I'm reading too much into that. Big picture, if they were going to power rank those three, like what they believe out of those guys, how would you rank them based on your discussions?
Oh, man. It's a cop-out, but you got to have to get to the end of the year, because we saw it with Peyton Tolley. We were screaming and yelling about how this guy was the savior, and then all of a sudden the last two starts, I don't think people are saying that. And conversely, I don't think you should rule him out as being really good in the postseason. So I know that everyone is like riding the Connelly Early bandwagon right now, but I want to see him pitch again. Like, I talked to a scout yesterday that said that, you know, that he really has to show that he can pitch inside. All right, well, you know, if he doesn't pitch inside in the next couple of times he pitches, then he's going to get hit like Tolley got hit. But I think in pure stuff, I think you still look at Peyton Tolley, and it's hard to ignore the pure stuff. I just feel like if he can just get that secondary pitch over the plate, then he could go on a pretty good run. So I'll go Tolley, Early, Harrison.
It's been seven games since Roman Anthony went down. The team is 3-4. Overall, how do you think the offense is going to be the rest of the way? And when, also, I guess as an addition to that, Willier Abreu, how soon do you think we could see him?
Yeah, I think the Abreu thing's a little concerning, to answer that question first, where he just isn't able to, or hasn't been, just sprinting full out. Now he's running, and maybe they're slow playing it or whatever, but still, he is. I think I saw today that he had the best defensive rating of any right fielder in baseball. Like, we forget that. We forget how good this guy can be. So I think that the ideal is that you get him back. What do they get? They go to Tampa after this homestand. So maybe by then you get him going into the postseason. You don't want to rush. You don't want to. You guys know this.
Sure.
Tearing a calf muscle is never a good idea, right?
Right.
Coming back. So you don't want to do that. And so if you get him back by then, okay. In the meantime, The Yoshida thing, he's a lefty hitter. Like, people say, well, why you care so much about Yoshida? Well, he's a lefty hitter. They don't have a lot of lefty hitters. They don't have a lot of – so he has to be pretty good. Romy Gonzalez, you can't have it take a turn for the worse in terms of whatever that – the banged up his knee. So these guys who have been a little bit up and down, you have to get the best of them. I think I said it to you guys before when Alex Bregman came out and just said, oh, we just got to keep doing us our, what we've been doing. No, you got to be a little bit better. Everybody has to be a little bit better across the board. And I don't think they've done that enough during that, certainly in Arizona and certainly yesterday.
September, Red Sox, Yankees, there's always high stakes to it. It's always a big series. What are the stakes this weekend?
I think it's pretty big series because, I mean, that's a stupid statement. Of course, it's a big series. but it's, first of all, it's going to be great. It's nice to have a series like this on the weekend at Fenway Park. Yankees, you know, the Friday night thing is a good dynamic. So it's going to be great. But then the Red Sox have lined up their guys. They know how big a series it is. You know, for me, it's the home field is so huge in the way that the whole playoff system is set up. To get the home field is just everything, really is. It's so key. And they're very fortunate. They won the season series against the Yankees. But I will say this. When they came off the last series of the Yankees, everyone was crapping on the Yankees. Listen, the Yankees are as good as anybody. They are. They have flaws. They're just different flaws, but they're as good as anybody, and they could certainly win this series. So I just think you got to keep marching. And you look at the schedule for both these teams. It's not easy, but it's not that hard either. It's just, I think for the Red Sox, it's pretty simple. You can beat anybody left, and you can go on a run in the postseason. You just, once again, have to get the best version of these guys that you've been relying on who have been playing better than the back of their baseball cards for the majority of the season. And most importantly, you have to get the best versions of Crochet, Giolito, and Bayo.
Okay. He's Rob Bradford every Thursday here on Jones and Keefe. He's brought to you by McFarland Energy. Bradfo, we appreciate the time. We'll put in our formal requests for the Baseball Isn't Boring hats, and we'll talk to you next week.
And by the way, guys, I talked to Boris. I'll be writing that up today about Bregman. So stay tuned. Yeah,
Kennedy had kind of an interesting answer about that this morning when he was asked on Greg's show. He said they were all surprised by the Jeff Passan report that Bregman was going to opt out. So interesting. Okay,
I almost pulled a hamstring. You know how he sits down? It was in Anaheim, and he sits down in that pit behind home plate.
Yeah, and you can see him sometimes with the camera.
So if you're a reporter, you have to literally get on the ground to talk to him. And so I'm in like a catcher stance for a minute. I'm like, this isn't going to work.
No.
And then I go new school, one knee, right?
Nice.
So I'm one knee. And then I basically just sit on the ground.
I would have sat like Tony Pena back there. I would have the leg out. Like, this is what I'm doing.
All right, Bradfo, we'll talk to you next week.
All right,
week.
Guys. All right, see you. Bye.
Good stuff from Bradfo.
Good. I mean, he's putting in the work. I mean, you have to crouch down to talk to somebody. I don't think I would.
Yeah.
They'd be like, hey, you have an exclusive with like whoever. Like,
it is kind of a power move by Boris.
I got to crouch down like that?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think I can get back up.
Should we do that? Should we change like when we have guests? Yeah, should we change where we're sitting?
Well, is it Colin Cowherd that has like the chair way up high?
Probably.
He's like on a throne, it's and like everybody else is like he's looking
like
down
a craft style throne. Yeah, maybe that
and
sounds
like,
right.
What's the point of this? I'm like, well, I'm very powerful.
It's Jones and Keefe. We're brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork. You can visit Jackson Lumber and Millwork for all your residential remodeling or commercial building materials and supplies at Jackson Lumber and Millwork, providing solutions and delivering results since 1946. We'll go on the clock at high noon, tell you how the Patriots are going to get their first win. We'll reset some thoughts on Drake May as well. Stay tuned.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. We're taking you up until 2 o'clock every Thursday at high noon. We go on the clock.
Woo!
We'll give you in just 60 seconds how the Patriots will get their first win against Miami on Sunday. So stay tuned for it with all your phone calls, 617-779-7937. I was listening to Sam Kennedy this morning on the Greg Hill Show. It's available on the Odyssey app. If you don't have it,
sick brag, bro.
Thank you.
Yeah,
get it on your phone. It's free, easy. You can take it with you wherever you go. Audacy. You can also listen on the iHeartRadio and TuneIn apps. But it was interesting to hear, and Greg's show did some of this morning, and then they did more of it with Kennedy. It was interesting to hear the reflection from his perspective on where he was on 9/11 and sort of the recollections of that. And, you know, we did some of this last year, Keith, when we were on, just where we were and our, you know, recollections of that day, which is a dark, dark day and a difficult day. And, you know, I thought it was just kind of interesting to hear Wiggy's perspective and Sam Kennedy's perspective on where they were at from that standpoint.
Oh, definitely. And I think with, you know, Wiggy being on the Patriots and in the season, and it was an off day because it was a Tuesday, but then just sort of like what the next days were like for him and the team, and then the moment with Andruzzi running through playing the Jets, like that whole thing definitely stands out as a memory in the aftermath of everything that occurred on September 11th. And, you know, you always remember where you were and like that moment in time, like you'll never forget that. But then to hear from other people at all different ages, like that was interesting too about their show is Greg was on the air. Greg was on WAF.
That's wild.
It stayed on the air all day talking about it. And it's really strange to go back. Some of this is on YouTube. If you go back to some of these live shows, like there's like a Regis and Kathy Lee where it's happening in real time in New York.
In New York, correct.
And they don't really know what's going on because you didn't at first. You certainly didn't.
Well, Wiggy said this. If you're young, and right, Courtney and Shine were younger.
That's what I'm saying. Like, so they were in fourth grade. You, me, and Curtis were in high school.
Yeah.
Lainey was probably college, right?
Freshman
in college.
Yeah. And I remember you talking about, like, you were listening to Stern. Like, Stern was another one that was live.
Yeah,
like,
when
we talked about this last year, Billy, I remember you saying that. And yeah, I found out in school. Like through word of mouth is how you found out about it. And so there weren't phones. We were watching some news coverage.
It was also wild to hear Curtis said their physics teacher held class.
So
we immediately canceled school for the day.
His class walked out. I think I said this last year. My Spanish teacher, we had class. She shut the TVs off. And we had class.
You said adios.
Then after that, we got sent home like midway through the day. But yeah,
bizarre.
We went to that class and we're like, "Hey, Senora, put it on the screen."
Yeah.
And she's like, "No, you'll catch up on this. Like, let's do class." So we did class. Which
That's
is crazy
so
in
weird.
Retrospect.
Although,
yeah.
Pre-brag, going to a prep school, you have kids from like all over the world at your school. You have kids that are from New York City. You have kids that are from D.C. So it was like everybody trying to get in contact with their family. Like, it was chaos. And just sort of like what the next day was like, too, is another thing.
Did you guys have school the next day? We definitely did. Did you guys?
It's a good question. What I don't know.
Billy, you were at BHCC. You were at Bunker Hill?
I was.
Did they have classes the next day? They did. Okay.
We probably did because it happened early in the day, I guess on Tuesday, so that closed everything down. I think we went back, and that was also, you know, fall sports, so it was like, all right, football practice is canceled, and then, but like, I think the next day we kind of did go back to it, but it all felt very strange. And like, I think everybody remembers that day, but also trying to think about like the differences
you know, we were just talking about like the airport with Bradford. Like the airport's one thing that just like still stands out to you because like we're of a generation where we actually remember where if you were meeting somebody at the airport, you could like run up to the gate. Oh, you could basically board the plane with somebody and be like, all right, I'll see you later. And then now it's like everything is so different. Just how you kind of see the world is changed, you know, on that day. But I am always fascinated to hear different people's experiences, especially like their different parts of the country, different parts of their lives. And I can't even imagine like doing the show like Greg did or Regis or Stern or whoever.
Like you're on the air and the towers collapse. Like, we were talking about this briefly with Greg, you know, and I'm sure he's talked about it on the air before, but we were just talking about it a little bit with him this morning. But it's like, we're on the air. We don't really know what happened. Like the first tower gets hit and you're like, well, that was whatever, a small plane or it's an accident or you don't know what it is.
But then I remember gathering in like a room and like watching TV of it. But even the people, like the news stations were like trying to fill in the clues. So even when you're watching that, let alone having to relay something that somebody else isn't very clear of what's happening, but trying to do it in real time. And Greg mentioned they had no commercials. So usually like it's something like that. It'd be during the commercials where you try to read stuff or listen to stuff and be like, all right, I can report this back, but you're just trying to do it all on the fly.
I can't remember if we talked about this last year, Keith, but the closest thing that I would imagine both of our radio careers to that.
Yeah, we were working together.
Would be the marathon bombing.
Like
that whole week and just that was very different radio in this city. Like we weren't doing as much sports talk. There might have been the Bruins played a game in there.
Yeah, that was. But even that was like a story through the prism
of, you know, sports are back and, you know, the anthem and everything else. But like
the Ortiz moment at Fenway, like all that stuff.
But that was all later on in the year. That week, right? What day? When was that? That was after.
Because I think one of the days we might have been preempted by like news radio, and then the rest of it, like we did.
No, when they found him in the book, we were WBZ most of that day and filling in. But imagine doing that nonstop, commercial free all day, like Greg did. Like that is just, was the right decision.
Yeah, it was.
But it's just that's not something you show up for work expecting to do, and that is. I didn't realize that from Greg until I heard that this morning. And so listening to him and listening to Wiggy and listening to Sam Kennedy today, if you missed any of it, I do think it's worth a re-listen there on the Odyssey app. It'll be 25 years coming up a year from today, 24 years since 9/11. So just some recollections there. I know we talked about it last year. It's worth hitting on every single year for sure. 617-779-7937. We'll get to all your feedback here coming up. On Jones and Keefe, we'll also go on the clock at high noon. How do the Patriots get their first win? We'll tell you in 60 seconds, coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly outside of Cleveland, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.